The economy right now, sluggish, uncertain. Except, of course, for the high-end financial industry, Wall Street. And what else? Well, another market headquartered in glammy precincts of Manhattan, the art market. The fall art auction season just wrapped up, and it produced some extremely bubbly results. The remarkable sales of paintings didn't just involve household names. The brand new It Boy is an artist named Jacob Casse. Just last fall, his pieces were priced at around $8,000 a piece. But one of his paintings ended up selling at an auction this month for $290,000.
There was a kind of collective, I would call it a collective,
That's Sarah Douglas, the culture editor of the New York Observer. She's covered the art world and the art market for some time and knows as well as anybody how an art star gets created these days.
I guess when you're talking about Casse's work in particular, it's a very interesting case because he's an artist who makes a lot of different kinds of work. A lot of it's monochromatic work, sort of post-minimalism, roughly.
Sort of nicely executed paintings of various black and white
that are
shades.
That are abstract.
Yeah.
The work of his that has skyrocketed on the market is they've come to be known as the silver paintings. And it's quite interesting because you can kind of check off all the boxes on them. Okay, they're very
shiny.
I talked about it in an article I wrote about him. I sort of said there's this idea that the owner of the piece can actually see a reflection of themselves in this object.
Yeah.
So there's something that...
Which is a wonderful, sick, modern idea.
Exactly. I mean, you can also talk about the idea of them as, you know, looking like these beautiful, almost luxury, distressed handbags that a woman would carry because the edges of them are burned through this alchemical sort of type process he uses to adhere the silver to the support.
So there's a kind of a familiar luxury craftsmanship involved.
Yes.
And if a purse sells for $3,000 or $4,000 or $5,000, why not a painting that looks like a Chanel purse for $10,000?
Well, and I think, and you could say that, and that's somewhat cynical. But I think,
sorry,
you know, to well, I don't know. It's also somewhat valid. If you went to his first exhibition in New York in 2009, he also had them stacked on the floor as though they were objects. So they really. They have this sort of, they have everything going for them in a funny kind of way.
And we can say all that now, explaining why his prices have gone through the roof and why he's suddenly in demand. However, playing not even devil's advocate, looking at his work in 2009, 2010, perfectly nice work, perfectly lovely, intensively worked over paintings and objects, but nothing amazing. Whoa, this guy is starting a new movement or he's done something nobody else has done. It seems a little random and arbitrary that this person's work of all the young artists working was sort of plucked and declared, you know, worth gambling on.
Right. And I think there you get into the issue of what has been called an artist's process of endorsement. There are the obvious signs of endorsement, museum exhibitions. An art critic writes about your work favorably. Then there are sort of the market-related aspects, the dealer taking you on, the prices going up at auction. Uh-huh. And I think the idea of a market star is a more recent phenomenon where an artist's value is created in purely market terms.
Right.
And that's dangerous because if there's a situation where there's a bubble, that bubble can burst.
It is, and you say a bubble, it is, the art market does almost seem like a parody of the Wall Street financial world, where inside trading is the sort of standard operating procedure without any underlying asset, right? I mean, it's so when it goes out on a public auction, as it did in this case, it becomes like an IPO where everybody wants in suddenly, and the prices get bid up.
I think that's right, and when you get a critical mass of people who are invested in an artist's market, it is in their interest, isn't it, to prop up that market.
You've met Jacob Casse. Is he an interesting guy? Is that part of the reason for his skyrocketing?
I met him very briefly at a dinner party once. I mean, he struck me as someone who is a serious artist who, no, it doesn't have some kind of public persona or and is not out there trying to be an art star. But I would just add that if you're an artist in your mid to late 20s, you're still developing, you know, you're still in the very early stages of your career. So if one particular body of work suddenly becomes outrageously popular, it's going to be difficult for you to move on from that.
Right. Either you the pressure to keep doing that or the internal pressure to, I'm not going to do that anymore. If you have a certain kind of refusenik integrity, I suppose.
Right. You know, in the wake of that, there was quite a bit, as you can imagine, of secondary market, as we say, activity in his work. The pieces.
People had bought one for $5,000. Whoa, I better sell this.
Exactly. So you have to feel for an artist that that's happening to because A, they have no control over that. B,
they're not making the money.
To add insult to injury, yeah. They make no money on the secondary market.
Yeah. Sarah Douglas, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sarah Douglas is the culture editor of the New York Observer, and at studio360.org, you can see some of Jacob Casse's work, including the painting that sold for $290,000.
I'm taking care of the business, like they say, green is business. They say, oh, by screen in a funny way. Comes all the way in the circle is what I mean. It all starts and finishes with green. Right?
Green is a lick, no matter where you place it. Green is a color today, always been facing. The green on my scene change every day.
So let us do unto you, they say. Green is a life back in a different way, but it could lead to...